Hello, Marion Pallister, Justice and Peace Commissioner and Pax Christi Scotland Chair here, at the end of a very busy month. For me, 30 days of intense activity that involved organising and or listening to some hugely inspirational speakers on different platforms. But I think my star moment had to be at the Delegates' Mass during COP26, at St. Aloysius Church in Glasgow, when the whole congregation burst into spontaneous applause for Bishop William Nolan's homily. I don't know about you, but I've never been present when a homily got that reaction, and I think that the Bishop President of the Justice and Peace Commission was a little taken aback himself. Bishop Nolan ended with the words that we must listen to the cry of the earth and the cry of the poor, words that were echoed by many of the speakers featured in the online events organised by Glasgow University's Theological and Religious Studies Department with Pax Christi Scotland during COP26. Time and again we heard that we must listen to the voices of the marginalised, the Indigenous people, the people at the grassroots of all our societies. Bishop Nolan asked in that homily, when was the last time we'd heard ourselves referred to as citizens rather than consumers? And let's think about that. As citizens, we have a say in what happens in the world. As consumers, we're like the poor geese that are force-fed in order to make pâté de foie gras. We consume to line the pockets of the already rich. We're cannon fodder in a war that seeks to grow economies, but who benefits from that growth? Certainly not those whose national insurance contributions are increasing, whose electricity prices are rising, whose benefits are being cut, nor those in developing countries for which overseas aid has been switched off, despite the rising costs that COVID and the climate crisis have imposed. But still, they urge us to consume, and in doing so, remove our status as citizens with all the human rights that go with that word. A lot of the solutions to the climate emergency have been top-down impositions, solutions that many felt simply aimed to consolidate the wealth of the wealthy. Now, I'm not really going off at a tangent when I ask you if you saw the episode of the TV series Who Do You Think You Are, which found that an ancestor of the comedian Joe Lycett was a child chimney sweep. As a wee boy, he was forced to climb up inside chimneys to clean them. We saw terrible enclosed spaces such children were forced into and learned of the deformities they developed because of the way they had to cling to the sides of these chimneys with bare hands and feet. Joe Lycett was horrified as all his Mary Poppins illusions were shattered. I couldn't help thinking of the children of today, in countries such as the Democratic Republic of Congo, where children are exploited in the extraction of minerals to make our mobile phones, our laptops and tablets, and the batteries that go in the electric cars we must switch to by 2030. There's both whitewashing and greenwashing going on in such exploitation, and as we move forward in our attempts to halt the climate emergency, these are the things we're going to have to attend to closely. The cries of the earth, the cries of the poor. Neither can be exploited for our needs, however necessary solutions are for the climate crisis. The exploitation of children and adults in any industry can't be tolerated. And if the captains of industry are clever enough to have got us this far, they are clever enough to devise solutions without harming the planet or its citizens. You know, to downgrade us to consumers and to constantly call us such is nothing short of brainwashing. I'm a consumer, so I have to buy. Marks and Spencer and John Lewis have been telling us to buy for Christmas since the start of November. This isn't just Christmas, this is a consumer's Christmas, and we need to buy a bigger freezer to store all of the perishable treats we can't possibly do without, and that retailers say we might miss out on if we don't consume now. Nonsense. Pax Christi Scotland seeks a non-violent society, yet how do we expect people to behave towards each other if they're encouraged to battle over turkeys and toilet rolls, frozen sprouts and fancy frocks? Justice and Peace Scotland seeks a just society, yet farmers have been pushed to breaking point. The factory workers of Bangladesh and the English Midlands are churning out throwaway fashion on wages that push them beyond the poverty line, and kids in DR Congo continue to dig in dangerous mines for cobalt, lithium and the rest. Our electronic devices leave deep ethical and environmental footprints on our planet. The minerals used in electronic devices are now referred to as conflict minerals, because their theft and sale have been linked with funding killings, violence, rape, and other human rights abuses in the Democratic Republic of Congo and other conflict zones. Little boys up chimneys have nothing on this, but if we're to act as the citizens we really are, rather than the subservient consumers the politicians and company bosses would like us to be, we'll raise our voices to seek justice and engender peace, opening our ears to listen to the cry of the earth and the cry of the poor, and we'll act on what we hear. I read a horrifying article in The Guardian on the situation in DR Congo. It said that most of the workers at a mine owned mainly by a Chinese company are employed through subcontractors. That means that trying to apportion blame for human rights abuses becomes tricky, to say the least. But speaking directly to workers, protecting their anonymity, The Guardian heard that they earn pittance wages, have no contracts, and poor food allowances, if any at all. The workers said the mine owners discriminated against them and were racist. It all sounded so much like colonial days that we thought were history. Who profits from such situations? Tracking the cobalt supply chain from the mines all the way through refiners and battery makers led to some of the world's leading electric car manufacturers, including Tesla, Volkswagen, Volvo, Renault, and Mercedes-Benz. You'll probably remember that in 2013, an 8-story commercial building called Rana Plaza in Dhaka, Bangladesh, collapsed. It took 19 days for the bodies of 1,134 garment workers to be found in the wreckage of that rickety building. As a result of that terrible incident, we did listen to the voices of the poor. And although the progress is slow, and there are companies that continue to use exploitative sources, the fashion industry today is trying to make sure workers are paid properly, work in safe environments, and are respected by the immediate employers. If one industry can do it, all industries can do it. The Guardian pointed out that the cobalt supply chain is highly complex. So was and is the fashion industry. And so the electric car manufacturers have to make sure the shift to clean energy isn't tainted by workers' rights abuses. In other words, we have to listen to the cries of the poor, and we must behave as responsible citizens, not sheep-like consumers led blindly and unquestioningly to accept whatever is put in a shop, online, or in a car showroom. Throughout the COP26 talks, we heard about the need to change from petrol to electric vehicles, and there's no doubt that this is vital to reduce carbon emissions. There'll be a ban in the UK on sales of petrol and diesel cars from 2030. But surely that gives car manufacturers, battery manufacturers, time to listen to the cries of the poor and sort things out. Most of the abuses happen in one place. About 70%, some 93,000 tonnes, of the world's cobalt stocks come from DR Congo. They have to put the mine owners and contractors and subcontractors and sub-subcontractors under scrutiny. And if they operate by employing the equivalent of 19th century child chimney sweeps, then action has to be taken to ensure clean energy is mined cleanly. There are watchdogs already on the case, but it has to become a worldwide campaign, and that's where we as citizens, not consumers, get in on the act. One watchdog says, cobalt is an essential mineral for the green transition, but we must not turn away from the abusive labour conditions that taint the lithium-ion batteries needed for millions of electric vehicles. We know only too well from the economic situation in our own country that walking away from jobs, however degrading, is rarely an option. Those employed in these mines say there is no other employment, and the children who are employed say they have no say in the matter at all. We also have to remember that it's been the polluting industries of the Northern Hemisphere that have created the climate emergency, and the Southern Hemisphere has suffered worst from droughts and famines resulting from what we've done. Now we're asking the poorest in that hemisphere to provide the solutions. That is simply unjust. So on December the 18th, it'll be the UN's International Migrants Day. And we shouldn't be surprised that the number of migrants is rising year on year. In 2019, 272 million people migrated, and the climate emergency and COVID-19 are pushing the figures even higher. The cobalt miners would justifiably be among those migrants, seeking a job where they're respected and paid a decent wage. Many migrants are people who have been exploited and flee to find a better life. Some have had their livelihoods destroyed by climate chaos. But even in migration, there's discrimination. If you're fleeing conflict, you may be lucky, given refugee status and allowed to make a new life in a stable country. But those who trek the length of Africa or make perilous journeys from Asia in order to find a place where they can make a living, including those whose livelihoods have been destroyed by climate chaos, are categorised as migrants, marginalised, and too often rejected. I hope we can pick up on Bishop Nolan's suggestion and claim back our right to be citizens rather than accept that label of consumer. Then we can make the difference in people's lives that mean they don't have to become migrants. Raising our citizens' voices to bring about climate justice right down to how new technologies are produced is truly listening to the cry of the poor, the cry of the earth. Pope Francis's prayer in union with creation, offered in his Laudato Si encyclical, is one for us all in the post-COP26 times. It ends, "The poor and the earth are crying out. O Lord, seize us with your power and light. Help us to protect all life, to prepare for a better future, for the coming of your kingdom of justice, peace, love and beauty. Praise be to you. Amen. And thanks for listening.